Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Pony Express.
The toughest game I played in was the Georgia game last year in the SEC Championship. And the reason I say that is because it was a very aggressive game on both sides of the ball. Georgia came with it. We came with it. And I just remember, like, after that game, I just felt like I got into a brawl. Like, my entire body was hurting. Took me a couple of days to get back healthy and all that.
Morning, everybody. Andrew Filippone here on CBS Sports Radio. Dylan Moses, the captain of the Alabama Crimson Tide. Linebacker on the toughest game he's ever played in. He's going with the SEC championship game over Georgia. And that has been just one soundbite in a series of back and forth trash talk between Clemson and Alabama during SEC and ACC media days. Both direct shots, veiled shots, passive aggressive shots between the two best college football programs in America, Alabama and Clemson. I'm Andrew Filippone, coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. SiriusXM Channel 206, CBSSportsRadio.com, the Radio.com app, the CBS Sports app. So many different ways to listen to us today. When Moses was asked if he thought Alabama was a better team than Clemson last year, he said yes. Clemson beat Alabama in the national championship game by 28 points. That really ends any discussion over who has the better team going into this season. I'm not talking about from addition, subtraction, the players who left the Clemson program, the defensive linemen they have to replace. How are they going to be able to do that? The whole idea that Alabama fans or SEC fans will come up with excuses for why Alabama lost that game, or will try their best to illegitimize what Clemson was able to do, their resume from last year. When you get waxed by four touchdowns, you can't claim that the SEC was better than the ACC. Alabama can't say, fans in Alabama or Georgia or Florida or South Carolina, Texas, they can't say at that point, well, look at the easy journey. Look at how easy it was for Clemson to get into this game. They played in an awful conference. They got Notre Dame in the national semifinal, an overrated team. And so they got to just breeze through the regular season. They had it on 65. They put it in cruise control. They got in the right lane, and they didn't. They just relaxed. You can say that going into the national championship game. You can believe that going into the game. Clemson doesn't deserve to be here. They're overrated. Look at their resume. Look at their body of work. But then when you lose by 28 points, that's it. In every excuse that you try to make in hindsight, or everything you say that try to minimize or undermine what Clemson did comes off as sour grapes. Excuse makers. Babies. I don't care that Alabama had assistant coaches that were looking ahead to other jobs. Since when has that stopped Alabama? Every team that won a national championship under Nick Saban has lost a coach to another program or to the NFL the following year. So if it wasn't an excuse back then, if it didn't prevent Alabama from winning a championship back then, why would it now? You don't think when Kirby Smart was at Alabama, he was coaching games late in the year, playoff games, national championship games, with one eye on his next head coaching job? You don't think that happened? You don't think that other major programs in December and January have elite players who are thinking about the NFL and are getting their pro football prospect ducks in a row? Clemson might have an easier path. Actually, they do. They'll have an easier path to the college football playoff again this year. And it would be a complete shock and surprise if they're not able to get there. The road they take to the college football playoff has no potholes. The road just got paved. I mean, it's pristine. It's perfect for them. Clemson has the equivalent of playing in the AFC East. They get the Patriot-esque schedule. They get two games against the equivalent of the Dolphins, two games against the Jets, two games against the Bills. They get the college football equivalent of that. But then once you get to those games, what the Patriots did in beating Buffalo and New York, beating the Bills and Jets, that gave them no advantage last year in the AFC Championship game when they needed to go to Kansas City to get to the Super Bowl. If college football was set up like pro football and it was strictly based on record and Clemson went 13-0, and because of that, they got to play Alabama in Death Valley. They got to play them in Clemson for the national championship. Well, that would be screwed up. But it was a neutral field and a 4-touchdown game. So anything Alabama says about the circumstance under how they lost or why they lost is embarrassing. You know, you'd think Alabama has won enough that when they lose, they know what it takes to beat them. They're the closest thing in terms of operationally, how the coach acts, how his support staff acts, how he treats his players. Alabama might as well be the 33rd NFL franchise. And so when they get beat, it's not a fluke. It's for real. Alabama very rarely beats itself. It almost never goes into a game underprepared. And I refuse to believe that Nick Saban's staff didn't have hit their players ready to go in that game. And so if that's true, that's one of the biggest indictments against Alabama football I've ever heard. That now, in hindsight, Nick Saban feels like his team wasn't ready to play. He's the most detail-oriented, control freak coach in college football. So I refuse to believe that. I think Clemson and their fans have a right to be ticked off that they don't win a game on a technicality. Clemson didn't win the national championship because there was a bad call, an erroneous call went against Alabama. They didn't win the national championship because of some rule interpretation. There wasn't an instant replay controversy that rocked the game, like, say, in the NFC Championship between the Rams and the Saints. I thought that Alabama was above this. That they were the class team. They're the standard by which every college football team is measured. And so when they get their butts kicked, they acknowledge it and accept it. They don't have their captain into an open microphone talking about how Georgia was the better team last year. You know, Saban's the type of guy, what I don't get about this is, Saban is obviously from the Belichick school. You would think that even though we're dealing with teenagers and players in their early 20s, you have months to get ready for these media day situations, that it would be clear from Saban on down that they weren't going to create bulletin board material for their biggest rival. You know, usually what you get from Alabama is Saban gets up there and he tells you how the Citadel is the best team they've ever seen. And he builds up the opponent like it's the biggest test, like they're taking on, like they're playing the Four Horsemen on Saturday. Like they're going up against one of the best teams of all time. And so that's why these comments to me struck me as just completely out of character and really embarrassing. And if I'm a Clemson fan, I'm not expecting an apology. But I'm also offended that they don't, that like in a blowout game, there's not more acknowledgement that it was a one-sided, complete joke, complete one-sided affair where you take your medicine and you move on. It's a better team, Clemson or Alabama? Does Alabama have a point, in your opinion? You disagree with me. That it was a fluke, that Clemson really, if they played Alabama 10 times, if Alabama played Clemson 10 times, they beat them 8 or 9. That it was just a bad day, complete fluke. That Alabama was the better team. The SEC proved it. The schedule proved it. And just for one Saturday, it got away from them. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. I'm Andrew Filippone, CBS Sports Radio. You can follow me on Twitter at the Pony Express, Pony spelled P-O-N-I. You can follow us on Twitter at CBS Sports Radio. Better team, Alabama or Clemson, what's your reaction to Alabama making excuses for last year's national championship butt-kicking? Saban have a point. His captains have a point. Sour grapes, what do you think? Does Alabama have a point that Clemson takes advantage of a weak schedule and they're really not the best team? They're just the most rested team going into the college football playoff, that they don't have a league that wears them down the same way Alabama does. 855-212-4227 if you want to join in on that conversation. Clemson, Alabama, not the only rivalry going on right now. You also have Michigan, Ohio State in July because of what Jim Harbaugh had to say about Urban Meyer. We'll discuss that. Tyreek Hill won't get suspended. That's also on the docket. We'll discuss that later on, too. I'm Andrew Filippone. It's the Pony Express on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Pony Express.
Today at 3 Eastern, New Pacific, meet CBS Sports Network at the Lanes in Las Vegas for the Barbasol PBA Tour Finals. The top 8 bowlers in the league compete for this year's title on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. I'm going to need some help with this one. Can someone tell me why Alabama this week tried to make excuses for the national championship loss to Clemson? What exactly provoked Dylan Moses to say that the team wasn't prepared to play Clemson said the Georgia game was a tougher game, was asked directly if Alabama was better than Clemson, and he said, yeah, I think so. After losing the game by 28 points, Nick Saban at SEC Media Day. Our ex-coaches put personal agenda before the team. He told Paul Feinbaum, we had a lot of guys who wanted to be head coaches at different places. It takes a special person to stay focused on what they have to do now when they have a job somewhere else that's awaiting them and they have a responsibility on staffs. Said it became very challenging late in the year. And so, I just want to know why. What's the point of revisiting or creating controversy off of a game where Clemson beat Alabama by 4 touchdowns? How do you make excuses for a 4-touchdown loss? There wasn't a significant injury. It's not like Clemson had more time to prepare for the game. What am I missing? Other than the point that Alabama, I guess, is they're just sore losers. Bad at taking responsibility or accepting blame. Or giving credit, in this case, to the other team. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Andrew Filippone here on CBS Sports Radio. Here is Paul in South Carolina. He joins the show. Hi, Paul.
How you doing, man? I'm driving around Gamecock country. Got my car decked out in Clemson gear, and this is a great conversation here. So if you remember after 2016 when Clemson beat them, Alabama was pretty much saying the same thing. And I almost think they're hoping history repeats itself because then they were able to beat us the next year in the college football playoff.
Okay, but that game you're talking about, Clemson needed a last-second touchdown to win. So
correct.
you can look at something, a little thing, point to it, and you know, if we make one more play, we're the better team. This was
right.
An ass-kicking. This was a 4-touchdown game that was never close.
Well, and Clemson called off the dogs in this game.
Right. You're right. They could have won the game by 40 if they wanted to.
Yes. So
what's your theory on why Alabama is making excuses?
I just kind of think it's this mentality of being the dominant team in the SEC. You know, living here in Columbia and Gamecock country, all I hear about is our schedule. We can't do anything about Florida State and some of these teams being down right now.
Well, and right, man, if as a Clemson fan, if you guys got fat on a soft schedule and then went into these big games and got blown out, those criticisms would be legitimate. But Clemson's not going into these games and getting killed. And thanks for the call. It's not working that way. You know, we see this, I think, a lot more. Well, wait a minute. We saw this with Notre Dame. We saw this with Notre Dame last year. The hype with Notre Dame wasn't real. Notre Dame, because of brand recognition, name recognition, gets into the college football playoff. They probably weren't one of the best 4 teams. But because they had gone through their schedule unscathed, they got the shot, and they got crushed. And it happens with Notre Dame pretty much every time they get put on that stage. But to bring up Clemson's schedule or the conference they play in to denigrate their accomplishment or achievement is ridiculous. Clemson isn't winning national championships because of the ACC. By that logic, the only reason why the Patriots are winning championships and Super Bowls is because they play in the AFC East. That's the number one reason. It's not Belichick. It's not Brady. It's the conference division they play in. It's not Trevor Lawrence. It's not Deshaun Watson. It's not Dabo. The reason why Clemson's winning championships is because they're in the same division as Wake Forest and Louisville. Who out there actually believes that? Alabama making excuses for a 4-touchdown loss. I thought Alabama had more class. 855-212-4CBS. Here's Justin in Alabama on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Justin.
Pony, how we doing today?
Hey, man.
Love the work. You know, I agree. First of all, from Alabama, Alabama grad, and you know, there's several things that we're not discussing here on this team of Alabama's last year. We changed D coordinators in the middle of the season, in which most of the media never even picked up on that. Tosh Lupe was sent to the Browns because Saban was highly disappointed in him. We had to switch to Pete Golding in the middle of the season, coming from UTSA, very small school, not quite adapted to take over the D.C. job. And I believe with Kirby around for as long as he was, Jeremy along as long as he was, I think Nick was comfortable having coordinators for the last 11 years on the defensive side of the ball. He could count on. I think that was a major issue going down the stretch. And Mike Locksley did check out the door. There's no doubt about that. The man checked out from Maryland. It was very obvious.
All right, let me ask you a question. Why wasn't any of the stuff let's go with the offense for a second. Why wasn't what you're talking about evident against Oklahoma?
You know, that's a great point. I believe that it was a little closer to the time, if that makes sense. You know, I know it's only, you know.
I mean, were people making these were people making these accusations or filing these complaints away when they were winning the SEC championship game or when they were beating Kyler Murray?
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
Okay.
And I'm going back to what Dylan Moses said. I love Dylan. Great linebacker, going to be a first rounder. And I think his point is, if Alabama and Clemson play a series of five, similar to a you know, any type of professional sport besides football, but if they played a series, I think his point is Alabama is the better team. Clemson definitely was the better team that day.
Okay, but you just said that Alabama was compromised by their coordinators. So if they've got those coordinator changes that you're talking about for a five game series, how do their problems go away?
Well, I mean, they didn't go away. It was you know, we struggled on defense all year. I mean, like I said, we replaced the DC in the
here's
middle
my,
of the season.
Justin, here's the bottom line. If Auburn came out after getting beat by 28 points to Alabama and said, "We're the better team," every Alabama fan would laugh at Auburn. What a stupid thing to say. Typical Auburn, little brother syndrome. Thanks for the call. Little brother, can you believe this crap? Look at this school. Who do they think they are? This is hilarious. This is ridiculous. How do you, to the last caller's point, how do you try to make even the claim that you win a best of five series when you lose by 4 touchdowns? In 2016, Hunter Renfro catches a touchdown at the buzzer. If the next year, one of the Alabama players, take your pick, comes out and says, you know, I think we were the better team. We just had a coverage breakdown on one play and we lost. If that said, it still becomes a headline, but it's not nearly the controversy that this is. If Notre Dame, who lost to Clemson by fewer points, by 27, if Chip Kelly said, or one of his players said, we're better than Clemson, everybody would laugh. Or everybody would think that it comes off as like sour grapes or poor sportsmanship or a lack of class. And so I just think you got to be consistent and call out BS when you see it. And that's what I'm getting from Alabama here, a whole lot of horse crap. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Alabama's captain says they're better than Clemson. Nick Saban makes excuses. Are they right? What's your theory on why Alabama's picking right now to try to discredit or minimize what Clemson did in the national championship last year? 855-212-4CBS. Plus, Jim Harbaugh's shot at Urban Meyer backtracked on it. Why? I'll explain next.
This is the Pony Express.
Jim Harbaugh at Big Ten Media Day told a podcast, the TK Show, before that Urban Meyer had a really phenomenal record at Ohio State, had a really phenomenal record everywhere he's been, but also controversy follows everywhere he's been. Ryan Day situation, moving in as head coach at Ohio State because of the Zach Smith domestic violence scandal. Ohio State assistant coach last year that blew up on Urban Meyer. That's why he was suspended in September of last year. Everything that happened at Florida with Urban Meyer, winning national championships, but also look at the arrest records of the players who were on those teams. And so, you know, Jim Harbaugh, I think, does this to point out that Urban Meyer might have all the records and might have championships, but you know, you have to, when you root for one of his teams or when you play for Urban Meyer or when you hire Urban Meyer, you know what you're getting. It's not going to be the cleanest program. And that winning might come at a cost because everything is secondary to winning. And in professional sports, that is the case. Winning trumps everything. But when we're talking about universities, there should be, there isn't, but there should be some obligation or some respect given to upholding the integrity of the institution or the school you work for. And are you incorporating, are you bringing people to your school, to this university, that are making the school a lot of money, but also damaging the school in other ways? Now, I think if you asked college football fans, the vast majority of them would take the baggage. Yeah, I think Ohio State's last two successful coaches, Jim Tressel and Urban Meyer, both of them are going to go down in history as highly successful, highly impactful coaches at Ohio State. They'll both, I think, go down as legendary figures there. And diehard Ohio State fans who care about winning Big Ten championships, college football playoff invitations, national championships, those fans are going to feel like Urban Meyer and Jim Tressel got raw deals. And the excuse they'll make is they'll rationalize it. Jim Tressel hid facts from the NCAA? He was two-faced? Well, the NCAA is hypocritical. Look at all the NCAA's double standards. Who are they? They're not any better than Jim Tressel. The NCAA is as corrupt as any organization out there. In Urban Meyer's case, diehard Ohio State fans will say, show me another dynastic-type program with a long resume or record of winning and show me the clean program that didn't have bad apples, didn't have players get arrested, didn't have NCAA violations. USC under Pete Carroll. Oregon under Chip Kelly. Cam Newton at Auburn. How he got there. I mean, you can go on and on. But I think just about every college football fan would prefer Urban Meyer to Jim Harbaugh. You know, there was no scent of controversy or trouble when Jim Harbaugh was the Stanford coach. Good kids, a lot of them went pro. A lot of them got diplomas. They never won a Rose Bowl. They never played for a national championship. Really good program. They never got to the top of college football. They were close. And he's really doing the same thing at Michigan. Michigan's had some pretty good years. Relatively speaking, you compare Jim Harbaugh and what he's done compared to Rich Rodriguez, no worse than what he's done compared to, say, the last couple of years of Lloyd Carr. After Brady Hoke's first season at Michigan, the program unraveled, derailed. Harbaugh's greatest sin, and it's a major one, is that he can't beat Ohio State. But that's a grave sin. That's a mortal sin with Michigan fans. College football fans want to win. And very few of them think about the fact that it's a school and educational purposes and trying to create men out of boys, and all of that are just euphemisms and things that get talked about that are way down on the list compared to the bottom line, wins and losses. And that's why, after doing television at Fox this year, Urban Meyer's name will come up again. Somebody will get fired. Clay Helton at USC. Maybe Brian Kelly at Notre Dame will be on the hot seat. And Urban Meyer's name will be attached to both of those jobs, even though he comes with serious baggage. Most college football fans would sell their scruples, would sell their soul to win. And if they thought they could cheat and get away with it, they would. If they thought they could slip a kid in, an at-risk kid, into school, maybe doesn't have the grades, maybe does have an arrest record, but he's a five-star player who can make plays. All right. Well, it's more important to beat Michigan than it is to have a roster full of upright kids who are 4.0 students and have aspirations to be a dentist when their college football careers are over. Why does Harbaugh take a shot at Urban Meyer? I think because he wants to make it clear to everybody that there are some coaches out there who won't go that far to win. And so I think Harbaugh, deep down, probably thinks he's better than Meyer. Thinks he's a better person, thinks he's a better coach, does it the right way. When you do it the right way in college football and college sports, there's a ceiling, let's say, on how much winning you can do. You know, I guess, can you sleep at night knowing that you won national championships, but maybe you didn't always recruit the best people, didn't have the best people on your coaching staff, had to cut corners, bend rules, and break rules to win, had to be ruthless? 855-212-4CBS is the telephone number. That's 855-212-4227. I'm Andrew Filippone at CBS Sports Radio. Here's JR in Florida. He's on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, JR.
Hey, Andrew. How you doing, buddy?
I'm pretty good.
First time caller. Hey, this is my perspective, okay? I'm a Florida State fan. I was a Bobby fan for a long time. And then we got Jimbo. And, you know, we said, okay, he's got to retire. This guy's got to take over. He's got a pretty good record. We never expected him to do what he did to our school when he left. But, you know, there were some circumstances with his family and his kid, and that's what we heard. So, you know, we let it go. As far as Alabama goes, I have no sympathies for them.
Well, wait a minute. What's the relevant of the Jim? What's the Jimbo Fisher point? What's the point you're trying to make there? I'm confused.
Well, we heard that Jimbo was leaving not just because of the money, but something to do with custody with his kid.
Okay.
You know, his kid had an illness that's pretty bad.
Okay.
And if you have a handicapped child,
right,
you're going to respect that, and you're going to look different at that person because they're
right,
having that on their shoulder, along with all those boys
okay,
that he has coming in that he has to mentor. You know?
Oh, so okay. So your point is maybe things got away from Florida State because he had like family issues or personal life things that caused the program to maybe go sideways. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, he had a
okay,
divorce and all that.
All right. All right. Okay. Yeah, I don't know if Urban Meyer has those same problems. I know, like, he talks about how there have been health issues with him. But I think that Urban Meyer finds convenient reasons to bring up those health issues. You know, when they lose or when he gets in trouble or when the NCAA is breathing down his neck, well, then he cites his health problems. But when he's blowing out Michigan, he's fine. When he's going to Rose Bowls, he's fine. But then when he's getting interviewed by authorities because of the Zach Smith situation, well, then he can't remember stuff and he's got a debilitating chronic problem that prevents him from remembering things and suffers from memory loss and his life is painful and stressful. I don't think Jim Harbaugh believes any of that. If Jim Harbaugh thought that Urban Meyer was really stepping away from for strictly like health reasons, then I don't think Harbaugh takes the opportunity to bury him or go after him. All right, coming up next. Now, I thought last year we had a fraudulent Super Bowl because the Saints deserved to be there and not the Rams. And something happened on Friday that I think kind of puts this NFL season in jeopardy as well. I'll tell you why next. I'm Andrew Filippone, Pony Express, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.